I like feeling like an outsider. The moment you feel like you're an insider and you know everybody, that's when you stop really asking the tough questions.
Listen. On the ground in Ferguson is Don Lemon on the phone this morning. Don Lemon, good morning.
Good morning, Tom. Good morning, everyone. How y'all doing?
I'm doing good, Don. I saw the article where you were called the N-word, or your producer was called the N-word.
My producer was called the N-word, and I haven't spoken about this to anyone. I had mentioned it. I had the town hall the other night on race, and I didn't, you know, I just mentioned it then, but I wanted to save it to talk about it with you guys. But, you know, we're sitting in there in the news car the other night getting ready, and one of my producers comes back, and she says, "I can't believe what just happened." And then the other producer, and I looked at her, she said, "What?" She goes, "I was talking to one of the National Guard guys, and he said, hey, listen, you better get out of here because the sun's about to go down, and you're a white woman. You don't know what these N-words are going to do, and we're going to start, you know, we may have to tear gas them. You better get out of here because you're a white woman." And she just said she couldn't believe it. She was stunned. She walked away. She came back, and she told us, and she said, "And the weird thing is, I'm not a white woman. I'm Hispanic." She goes, "And I couldn't believe somebody was openly telling me that in 2014. And that was, you know, 2 nights ago.
And he was a National Guardsman.
He was a National Guardsman. And that story got back to Ron Johnson, who's the head, you know, of the operations here. And he called me personally and said, "I'm not." He asked me what happened. He said, "I'm going to have a talk with the guys, the operational head of the National Guard that's here." And he said, "I'm going to have a talk with them." And I said, "Okay." And I said, "Listen, this story is not about me. These guys are out here. They're protecting me. They're protecting other news crews. I'm not going to talk about it anymore." But, you know, she came back. She was really, really upset. And, it was just surprising. Not that I'm surprised that it happened, but I'm surprised considering the climate. And listen, I know people use that word, and you know how I feel. Y'all know how I feel about that word. But I was just surprised considering the climate of what's happening here that someone would share that, would say that word openly, you know, after a young man has been dead and there's been so much unrest.
You've talked to the people there in Ferguson, and I keep hearing these stories about this. This is nothing new with police harassing people in Ferguson for no reason. I read an article where they interviewed someone in the barbershop who said he's been stopped several times and just asked for his insurance papers.
Right.
Insurance papers. What's that got to do with driving?
From the first.
Just to be stopped. That's harassment.
Driving while black.
That's driving while black.
From the first time I got here, that's what people have been saying. They're like, "Don, listen, this has been going on for years, and not only from Ferguson, from county, from every place around here." And listen, this is their account. I don't live here. I don't know. I guess I used to live in St. Louis. I never was, to my recollection, I was never stopped for driving while black the almost 2 years I lived in St. Louis. But all of these young men share the same story, and not just young men, women, black men, black women. But the most poignant stories come from the young brothers who say they can just be sitting outside, they can just be walking down the street, they can just be doing anything, and the cops will stop them and harangue them, harass them, and they say they don't treat them like human beings. The way that you approach me is what you're going to get in return. So if you approach me and you're like, "Hey," and, you know, he said MF-er, and, you know, "Hey, what you doing out here?" He said, "If you approach me that way, that's how I'm going to approach you." And then I was doing a ride-along yesterday with Ron Johnson, the guy who hit a black man. And he said, "You know, don't use that foul language. They can't use it on television, the tape." And I said, "We can use it." And he goes, "Yes, but I don't want this community portrayed like that. Don't use that language." But they said all they have to do, the only relationship we have with the cops is between a police glass or when they're coming to harass or harangue or arrest us or if they're suspicious of us. So we don't have anyone like Johnson walking around. We don't have community police that are getting to know us, that are saying hello to us. They just look on us as suspicious characters, and that's what they get. That's the relationship they have. That's what they get in return when they talk to us. All they have to do is get out here and talk to us, get out in the community and try to learn about the community. But guess what? 90% 90% of the officers, all of them pretty much, are white officers who are in this community and probably are afraid of black people.
And they're there for work only.
They're there for work only, and they say they want us to stay in our houses, stay in certain parts of the community. They're not there trying to get to know us. They are just there to arrest us.
Is there an effort or a discussion at least to make an effort for the people who serve the community in the police department to live in the community? Because that's something we've been talking about earlier this week.
That's the effort now. It's considering this.
Yeah.
They're going to have to figure out how to get people to become police officers. Everyone says, what's the difference? The difference is the voting. You're going to have to register to vote so that you can make change in your community. And the political process. But there is an effort now. There has to be an effort. They were forced to have an effort because they've got the world's attention now. Before, nobody was paying attention to Ferguson or any place around the country. There's going to be a change in many places around the country because of Michael Brown's death. It's going to force people to be more transparent. Police departments, I think, are going to be afraid that they're the next ones that are going to be scrutinized like this. And I hope they are. I hope they are afraid, because the police departments should be reflective of the communities that they protect. They're supposed to protect and serve.
If the community is 70% black, and the police department is less than 3% black,
right?
You've got all those policemen now. If you change, that means you have to fire police officers, and they got those unions, Fraternal Order of Police. That's not an easy thing to do.
It doesn't mean that they have to fire. It means that, listen, people hire people
you only have so much money in a budget for police departments. Now, if you're going to balance it out, you got to let some police officers go.
Well, Tom, but there's not just that. There are county police officers who don't necessarily just live in the city that they're in. That county, you've got city police officers. The key is to start now. No one's saying that overnight there's going to be 70%, black officers and 20% Hispanic officers. You've got to start, though, somewhere. And
yeah.
Every officer you have is not a good officer. It's not a great, listen, we've seen that. Every officer is not a great officer. There needs to be more training. So the officers that you have, that you have issues with, that aren't great officers, then you start looking at those officers and you tell them they need to clean their acts up. And if they don't, they're going to go. And if they don't clean their acts up, then you start hiring some diverse officers in your community.
And Don, don't you think that also that Darren Wilson may not have been a bad cop, and especially if he doesn't have anything on his record. I'm just saying, he may not have been the worst cop, but also talk about how you confront those circumstances.
Well, he may not have been a bad cop. He made questionable decisions.
Right.
But I don't know how good or how bad he was. Someone is dead. But people must be trained, and the best training is getting out in the community and knowing about the people you protect and serve. Mm. That's so that you don't fear them. You're not seen as an occupier.
Somewhere.
People in command, they should start at the top. I mean, none of the superior officers are black as well, and that's where it could start from the top and then direct it down. That's my opinion.
Tom, I hear you playing the music. I know you have to go, but here's what I want to say. The other night when all that commotion was going, there was me, Mark Lamont Hill, and one black photographer, and most of the other people around us were white. When the crowd started running because people were throwing bottles in the crowd, me, Mark, and my photographer stood there, and we just kind of looked like, hey, y'all, calm down. What's going on? We were, like, talking to the people out there. All of the white people around us started running, and we were the only three people who didn't run. What does that tell you?
Scared of
smart
black
white
people.
All
right.